Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter Podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans with superfans for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me, I have the winner of Australian Survivor, Titans versus Rebels. I have Ferris Basal. Basal, yes. How are you, mate?
I'm over the moon. I'm so good, man. I'm so excited to be doing this podcast specifically. I've been listening to you guys the entire season. So I'm cheering. I'm so excited to do this. Bring it on.
Dude, you have been listening to us the entire season. We're just two regular tradies. And you're listening to us talk shit about you.
Hell yeah. Look, to be fair, I was your winner pick from the get-go. So you had me hooked from then.
That's why Mac didn't turn up today. It's because he had Frankie and he was a bit nervous you might hate
him. Oh, who one was Frankie?
No. First and first. We both got first, just at either ends.
I don't blame him. I would have chosen Frankie as well. She's awesome. But yeah, that's hilarious. I love that.
Mate, I have the question that I ask everyone that I am so excited to ask you. And it's the night before. Did you sleep? Were you overthinking? What were you overthinking? As a fan of the game, I know that there's just so much that you had to get out and just not being able to play yet. Where did it come from?
The night before, I did not sleep. At all, but it wasn't so much thinking about strategies or anything like that. I knew my strongest aspect of my game would have been social, and then strategy. But I was so, funnily enough, I was eating so much the night before. I think that was the only thing I was properly doing. I was eating everything because I knew I was going to regret it after if I didn't eat. But yeah, I was just excited, man. I wasn't like overthinking too much. I was like, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to have fun in the game. Honestly, it didn't even cross my mind that I would even make it far. Yeah. So I was just like, I'm just going to enjoy my time. But yeah, I was definitely up all night just from excitement, if anything. Yeah.
Just excitement. Nah, that's sick, man. And social, like I've met you outside of the game and holy fuck, social is definitely your route. It is. And, mate, that's perfect. That leads me on to, like, my next question.
Yeah.
Being that you're a player with such subtle moves the entire way through the game, I want to ask, how hard was that to bring up at Final Tribal Council? Because...
It was very, very difficult. And, again, one of the reasons why I didn't want to sit next to Kirby in the end, because I would find it a lot more difficult to explain my game compared to Kirby. Yeah, it was very, very hard because although I had every reason, right to say my moves and like for it to be validated, at the end of the day, a lot of the people from the jury, the members of the jury, they didn't see half of it. So it's all just based on what I'm saying and they're just going to have to trust that, which is very, very hard and risky for a Final Tribal Council because you want some credibility to your name. You want people to be backing you up. And, you know, how are people going to back me up if, you know, not that many people knew I was a part of the Raymond Advantage or, you know, I was the one that whispered Eden at that Eden vote off. So it was a lot more difficult going into that Final Tribal Council to explain most of my moves or even like giving the idol to Alex. Nobody actually knew that. Nobody knew that I found the idol. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to make Alex find that. Nobody knew that. And I couldn't really... like back myself up in terms of that. It was just a matter of they're just going to have to trust my word. So that was the most difficult part of that Final Tribal Council, actually explaining and having a bit of credibility to my name when it came to these moves.
Definitely. And well, you obviously did it well enough because like 9 votes, bro. 9 fucking votes.
Hey, I did not expect that at all. Well, to get every single member of the jury's votes. Yeah, I'm so proud.
I guess one thing is Kitty. Like, Kitty obviously is so close to Caroline the entire way through the season. What do you think maybe pulled her over as to vote with you?
I'll be honest. I think it was the closing part of the speech. I think it really resonated with her. And I think, you know, a lot of the times people base their jury votes, well, most of them base their jury votes on actual moves, and some jury members base their votes on how much they can actually connect on that night, and more so the emotional part of things. So I think when I mentioned, you know, how much it would mean to me and like what I would do with the money and like it would absolutely change my life, all those things, I think that's what got Kitty in the end. But look, at the end of the day, Kitty only knows the right answer to that. But I'm assuming it was that because she saw all of Caroline's moves and she heard all of my moves. And I think it just came down to who could touch her heart a bit more that night. So I think that's what it was.
Definitely. No, definitely, definitely. And I guess another question is, obviously, I'm guessing you and Caroline are completely perfect now. She is a lovely lady. And you guys even had chances of working through the game.
Yeah.
So you fucked that up, not you.
Me and Caroline, we're cool. We're all good. Like we have so much respect for one another, and she was so happy for me, and I was honestly so happy to be sitting next to her at the end. But yeah, we've had so many chances that like I gave so many people a lot of chances, even after backstabbing me, because I thought at the end of the day, being bitter about something in the game is probably the worst thing you could do. Regardless of how hard they backstabbed you, you just need to swallow it and move forward, especially in such a fluid season like this. You just can't afford to make enemies for no reason. Like, the best thing you can do is just swallow your pride and be like, okay, do you want to work together now or now or now? Like, even though, like, I gave so many chances, it worked. People always saw me as, okay, although we can, like, completely backstab Ferris, we can also work with Ferris. And so long as the backstabbing wasn't directly at me and one of my alliance members, I didn't really care so long as they could work with me later on. So that was my main takeaway. Although I was raging, like, for example, when Gary got voted off and when Eileen got voted off, that really, really hurt. But I told myself I was never going to show it. I was always going to say, good game, nice move. You played the better game tonight. Let's move on. Let's see what we can do moving forward. So that was always a goal of mine, to just never be bitter. Because at the end of the day, if you're bitter as well, people remember that stuff. Even, you know, at the jury, if you blow your top off, that could be the reason why you lose $500,000. And I just was not going to lose $500,000 because I was bitter, because Eileen got voted off. At the end of the day, I'm playing my own game, and that's what I wanted to do moving forward.
That is awesome. That is just perfect social strategy. Like, perfect. Like, and that is just what you got to do. Just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, water off the duck's back.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, especially in this season, it was so, so important to sort of take on that strategy. Maybe in other seasons, not the best. Who knows? But this season, because it was so fluid and everyone was changing literally every single day, you just couldn't afford to make enemies because you'd be the next one out.
Exactly. I guess one person that you have a very up and down relationship with is Kirby. I'm guessing you know this name. I can already see the smile on your face, asking this question. I think Kirby's greatest strength was her antagonizing strategy, how she could go into a conversation, turn it into an argument, and it just not bother her. And she was just so calm the whole way through. And obviously, when you're on the other, when you're with that, that's amazing. Like, that's incredible. That's brilliant. But how was it being on the opposite side of that?
Oh my God. So frustrating. Like, props to Kirby. She's so good at handling this. And I think, honestly, probably the best I've ever seen at handling, you know, those sort of situations, because she stays cool, calm, and collected, and just lets you blow your entire top off. So when we were going at it, I think it was the Garrick vote off that tribal. It was so frustrating because in my head, I'm like, you are wrong. Like, you are the least trustworthy person here, Kirby. And you're acting like, you know, everyone should be working with you. Or like, you're pointing fingers at me. Or like, it was so frustrating to deal with someone that was so calm about it. And I think that's what makes her amazing. I'm honestly jealous of her demeanor. She's so cool, calm, collected, confident. Like, she just oozes all of that confidence. It works amazing for her, but being on the other side, it is the most frustrating thing in the world. And I'll tell her that to her face, and she knows that. She knows that she's riling people up, and she's just sitting back with, like, you know, her legs folded and her arms folded and just watching all the chaos unfold. But, no, she's absolutely amazing, and I'd hate to be on the other side of that.
Well, hopefully you don't have to be again. I think you guys are pretty close now. So
yeah.
Even if you did work again.
Yeah, we still have that banter, that brother-sister banter. Everyone's so confused about our relationship, and I think I'm a bit confused about our relationship as well. But nah, she's honestly one of the most incredible people I've ever met.
Talking about other people that are very, very close to your heart, we obviously have your closest allies. We have Garrick, we have Eileen, we have Raymond. Yes. Now, I just want to ask, let's just get a bit quick backstory on just all three of them and how this alliance started for you and why you were so 100% with them to the end.
Yeah. So going into the game, I actually had a little alliance criteria in my head. Yeah. I wanted to align with someone that is a bit older than everyone else, because from what we've seen in the past and characteristics of, you know, mature-aged you know, men and women, they're actually a lot more loyal compared to the younger, chaotic crew. So Garrick was 100% one of the people that I really, really wanted to work with from day one. I also wanted to align with someone that was a clear outcast, someone that was quirky, someone that really didn't really fit in certain groups. Because number one, I love working with those sort of people. It's the funnest thing ever. And number two, again, they'll show you absolute loyalty. If, you know, all these people are not giving Raymond a chance. And I'm not saying that none of them did. It's just a matter of he was a clear outcast, and I think he knew that as well. So if I came and I showed him, you know, that one-on-one individuality conversations that we can have, he would, number one, not only be really close to me, but be very, very loyal to me as well. And I think he appreciated that. He appreciated, you know, someone to just, you know, sit down, have a chat with him. And like, I don't think many people took Raymond aside in the beginning. And so when you take someone aside that hasn't been taken aside before, they really appreciate that. And that's where their loyalty builds up from right from the get-go. And then the third criteria was someone that was really quiet, someone that was that looked like they keep their cards close to their chest, that was always watching, and also seemed very strategic. And Eileen fit that so perfectly. Like she's a social butterfly. Don't get me wrong. I think it was just, you know, on those first couple of days, there were so many big personalities that she sort of took a step back and just watched everyone. And that was someone that I needed on my line, someone that was quiet, on the down low, that was also very, very strategic, which was a plus. So Eileen was definitely like, you know, the third and final person that I would have wanted in my alliance. And at the same time, we all just got along so well. Like I got along with Garrick on so many different levels. Raymond, like we're both so immature, and I think probably the most immature people out of that whole tribe. Mm-hmm. So I clicked so well with Raymond. Like I laughed at all of his dumb jokes that nobody laughed at. And then like Eileen, we connected on a different level. You know, with our backgrounds, I think we knew what it meant for our families and, you know, the expectations from our families. So coming from that background, we really related on a whole different level. So to me, those were the perfect three, not only in the game, but also like, you know, game aside, on a human level, on a relationship level, I clicked with all of them so, so well. They're all amazing people.
Yeah. No, definitely, definitely. Obviously, it was great watching, you know, your parlay with Raymond and Garrick. I'd love to get a little bit more into Garrick in a second, but I just want to ask one quick question that I think everyone's thinking about. You wanted someone that was a bit of an outcast, someone that not everyone could work with. Why didn't you pick Kelly over Raymond?
because that would go against my third criteria of wanting someone that was a lot more quiet. And Kelly was just so out there. I was like, if I tell her anything, it's just going to blow up. Yeah. I want someone that's an outcast, but also that can, you know, stay a bit quiet when it comes to my plan. So, and Raymond, like, again, he's just a ball of sunshine. I love him so much. So I'm so glad that it was Raymond and not Kelly. Sorry.
Sorry, Kelly. Nah, dude, I can understand that. All right. With these three people, obviously, your entire game is based on social. And, like, don't get me wrong, there is so much strategy interacting that, but it's based on social. Were you ever worried about these three? We do hear that you talk about how Eileen had mentioned to Garrick at some stage that she would have to vote you out, which is very smart. She's a strategic player. She knows to think that way. But was Garrick that 100% loyal? Because he seemed like he had a little bit more going on than most other older people that we get on the show.
No, Garrick... Look, in the beginning, like we all do, we have our doubts right from the get-go. But I think what sort of solidified that is when I took him and Ray to the treasure box. And Raymond has said this, like that was the moment that alliance was solidified because I put trust in them and I think they appreciated that. And then after that, I think, you know, Garrick was someone I could fully trust. Same with Raymond. Eileen, I had a bit of a rocky relationship with in terms of trust because in the beginning I was like, damn, I actually don't know if I can trust Eileen. She's getting along with Scotty a lot. And then I started to realize, okay, maybe I can trust her. And then when that trust started to decline a bit was at Titan's Beach. So Garrick told me that Eileen and Scotty and Garrick all discussed taking out me and Kirby. And then I was like, okay, that makes perfect sense now with Eileen. So I couldn't fully trust her, but I did want to keep her close. And again, which is why I didn't really listen to her when she said, play your idol for Garrick last minute. I was like, well, I can't. In my head, I was like, I can't trust you. Like, and to tell me to play my idol such last minute without previous discussion seems a bit suspicious to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, she was 100% right, but... I had my reasons not to listen to Eileen because I knew eventually she was going to turn. And that aside, I always knew, like, in an alliance with three boys, surely at some point she's going to be like, I'm at the bottom of this alliance. Yeah, I'm going to have to flip at some point. So I always had that in my sights. But, the way I see it was, although I don't trust her, I'd like to keep her as close as possible for the maximum amount of time as possible before I'm going to have to let her go, which, again, why I wasn't mad when Kirby voted her off. I said, you know, better you than I. It worked out perfectly that way.
Look, obviously with your strategic little alliance that you have, that you've obviously thought through hugely. I think a big part of your game was shields. A huge part of your game was shields. And obviously, we've got Kirby. Kirby's up there at the top. I do want to get back to that Kelly Saboteur vote, where Rihanna was probably going home or yourself.
I
just want to say, back then, when I was talking about it on the podcast, we were talking about how smart it was for you to go for Rihanna while Kirby was going for you. Because people in the middle want this war to continue. They don't want to take out the big cheeses. And I think you saw that throughout the game, keeping that person in front of you, being standing behind. So, and being such a big boy like you are, it's hard to have those big shields. Who were the best big shields for you, other than Kirby, obviously? Who else did you use? And how did you maneuver them in front of you?
That's a really good question because apart from Kirby, it was quite difficult to find another shield only because, like, my character, like, on the show was so out there and it was almost impossible not to see me as one of the bigger players, regardless if I played well or not.
Yeah.
It's seeing how much of a showman I was or being a big guy, like, it was so hard to hide behind people. I would say, to a certain extent, Eden was a massive, massive player. He wasn't so much a shield. He was more so a distraction from me and making everyone aware that Eden is actually a huge strategic threat. And I think if we didn't take him out at the time that he did, he would have made it extremely far. That man, the way he thinks and the way his brain ticks is absolutely insane. And it's unfortunate we didn't get to see much of that. But yeah, Eden was one of them. But apart from that, there was literally no one else. That's why the game was so hard for me. I could just hide really behind Kirby because Eden wasn't really as out there as we saw. We knew that he was strategic, but he wasn't an out there player, much like Kirby was. So I was really only relying on Kirby at that point.
I definitely understand that. And I want to talk about how you talked about how you're such an out there player and Tribal Council. I was a little bit worried for you at the start because of how you presented yourself at Tribal Council. You gave so much information away, but then just not enough that they were able to sort of make a plan to combat it. And I want to talk about you and your out there style at Tribal Council. Did it ever get you in trouble?
It actually didn't. It didn't get me in trouble. I think everyone was aware that I did just want to make this game fun. People knew that Tribal Council Ferris and, you know, the Ferris that you're talking to at 12 a.m. in the morning are two very, very different people.
Yeah.
They knew I just loved to have fun with the game, regardless if I meant it or not. Yeah. I just wanted to have fun. And I think I made that very, very clear early on when, you know, taking off my hoodie to reveal the idol. I just loved I loved being that person that would make tribal councils fun. I was so sick of seeing so many tribal councils where it was just a clear vote or like it's such an innocent tribal council. No, I don't like that. I want to make it as fun as possible. Let's air out everyone's dirty laundry. Let's speak as much as we can. And although it does seem like there's sometimes where I've shot myself in the foot, tribal councils are a lot longer than what we see and they drag on a lot more. So people don't really take a lot of things seriously, unless it does get really, really heated, obviously. But when I make comments like, I'm going to, you know, tonight to make an example out of someone, people didn't really flinch on that. They were like, oh, okay. Like he's just being Ferris. He's just being a showman. Like they didn't think much of it, but as viewers watching it, we're like, Ferris, what the hell are you doing? Yourself in the foot. But no, it definitely wasn't the case. Like, yeah, I don't think many people did pick up on it. And also, My horrible poker face, like constantly smiling. I think again, that was a character I've established from day one. I was just that guy that was smiling all the time. So whenever someone would see Ferris smiling, they'd be like, oh, it's just Ferris being Ferris. He's just smiling all the bloody time. So that's why I could get away with, you know, my horrible poker face because I was enjoying it so much and people didn't question it because I was smiling all the bloody time. So,
That's sick, man. That's really cool. And dude, you smiled the entire game. Like it did stop. The smiling assassin. Is that what everyone, what did that vote end up coming out as? The smiling assassin?
Yeah. I think Kel came up with that name until I realized there's already a smiling assassin. Let's leave it for Pia. It's probably fine. But it was hilarious when she brought that up. I was like, okay, I'll take it. Thanks.
That's good. All right, I got this. This is a big one. And now you had lost pretty much every immunity challenge coming into the final Tribal Council. Obviously, you stood there, you held your ground, and you killed it at that final Tribal Council. And it looked like you could have continued going for a really, really long time. You just wanted it a bit more. But I want to take you into a bit of an alternate universe because I love the strategist that you are.
Yeah.
And Caroline wins this challenge. And I'm guessing she takes Mark.
Yes.
Because obviously we saw at the final trial, she didn't really have a case against you.
Yeah.
With her taking Mark, making him look like her little bitch, how does that come out from the jury, from your perspective? Because obviously... he's written her name down twice, hasn't got her out. She hasn't actually officially done an actual attack on him. So I just would love to know, in a meta world, what happens there?
Who does my vote go to?
Who does your vote go to and who do you think everyone else would go to?
Look, I think walking into that final tribal council, if I'm part of the jury, I have Mark ahead in my head. automatically. Again, not to discredit anything Carolina's done, I just felt like Mark was the only one of the only people that could really get to me. He was actually fantastic at building relationships, and he knew what made me tick, and I really respected that about Mark, because not many people knew what made me tick. So Mark would have been ahead for me, but I would have gone in as well, like, still being open to listening to both arguments. But in the end, I actually think, yeah, Mark would have got my vote. Knowing how the jury was and how aggressive they were, I reckon Mark would have absolutely thrived in that last tribal council. But game as well. It would have been hard because both of them, I didn't see much of their game. Only because, you know, we only just met each other at Merge, and what, there's like, what, 2.5-3 weeks left until the game's over. And although I did work with Caroline and I did work a bit with Mark would have had my vote.
Yeah.
And in general, I do think Mark would have taken that out.
Yeah.
Because Mark has Val locked in.
Yeah.
Mark would also have Alex locked in.
Jaden as well, I think.
Yeah, I reckon Jaden, he would have had Jaden locked in as well. And then the rest would have just been how well he would have presented himself at that last tribal council. And I think he would have presented himself brilliant.
He's a very good talker, so I definitely see that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Mate, that was awesome. Thank you for running through that with me, because that's been something that's been on my mind for a while.
Yeah.
Like, since the game finished.
Yeah.
Okay, so your idol. Let's start talking about your idol. And 31 day. Have you got it there?
I wish. You know what I was actually going to do? And sorry if I'm cutting out your question, but yeah. I think this is really cool. I was actually this close to not playing my idol at all and sitting at that final tribal council with an idol around my neck. And just being like, I trusted myself more than this bloody idol, which is why this is still staying on my neck. And plus, it would have been an amazing souvenir. But I just think it would have been such a boss move to just be like, yeah, like I never needed to use this idol. And I was like positive my name wasn't coming up at that vote when it came to Kirby. But I was like, imagine it does. I'm going to be the dumbest Survivor player ever if I don't play my idol and I go home after holding it for 31 days. So I was so tempted to just not play it at all. But I was just like, nah, I refuse to look like the dumbest person ever. So I'm just playing it for myself. But yeah, sorry, I just thought that would have been fun.
Dude, the truth is, in Survivor history, it's gone both ways. You not showing it to anyone else, other than Raymond, I believe. Yeah, was there anyone else? Yeah, just Raymond.
Just so Raymond.
Even Eileen never seen it. That could have been a huge move. That you bring it out and you're like, this is the idol that everyone's been gossiping about.
Mind you, I would have broken the... I'm pretty sure someone confirmed it with me. I would have broken the American record for holding the idol the longest. Like, I broke the Australian, but I think I would have broken the American one as well if I held it all up to the end. So that would have been really, really cool as well. Yeah,
that's cool. I dare say you wouldn't have, because it's playable days.
So, oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you're all good. So you're perfect. You did it as long as you could. But seriously, like that, then we've also seen in other franchises and other times where someone has brought the idol to the end and it means jack shit because weren't a big enough player. But someone like you, it's awesome because it's like, I was the second biggest player in the game and motherfuckers.
Yeah. It would have been so good, but like the risk to reward was just not good enough for me. I was like, yeah, I'm not looking stupid in front of all of Australia because of that.
Exactly. Okay. When was the closest time you were to playing it? When were you the most nervous? Obviously, Eileen tells you to play it for Garrick. You've got that tossing around in your head. When else were you thinking about playing it the most? Because there's a lot of power with an idol.
Yeah. I actually would have played it on that Scotty vote off if he didn't quit. I was actually really, really nervous that day. And I heard my name come up so many times. So I actually probably would have played it at that tribal council. And also, yes, the Kelly vote.
The Kelly vote?
I was crapping myself for the Kelly vote. Like, I was like, this is way too easy, number one. Number two, there are so many chats happening for a unanimous vote. And I was like, so, like, just to put into perspective how confusing that day was for me. So many chats were happening after we all said, yes, let's vote out Kelly. So that was number one, where I was like, this is too suspicious. And then I go see Raymond looking for an idol, and I ask
for him, Kelly.
Yeah, for Kelly. And he's like, for Kelly. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck is happening here? Like, so many things aren't making sense. And then I see Kirby and Kelly going away and having chats, and I'm like, okay, something's going on. And, you know, that's props to Kirby for, like, making me very, very paranoid. But, yeah, I was actually going to play it then, but then I was like, but after seeing that tribal council and Kelly just blowing up that tribal council, I was like, okay, I'm safe now. Yeah. But before then, yeah, I was going in ready to play it.
Yeah. That's completely fair enough. Like, Kirby did an amazing thing, pretty much making a nothing vote and turning it into just this web of paranoia for you.
Yeah. She did that so well. But yeah, those are the two times I would have played it.
Yeah. What was your favorite moment in the game? Other than when you see your misses, because like that's just a cop out.
So many. I actually think it was the Raymond advantage. You could actually see how much fun I was having that night. Like, I was literally covering my mouth and giggling so loud in front of everyone because this guy just made it work. Like, he made the impossible possible, and it was so much fun seeing everyone one by one going to the voting booth saying something nice about Raymond and then me putting on this whole act that, you know, Raymond's going home, I'm so upset. I was like dragging my feet to the voting booth, and then I look up and you could just see how much fun I'm having. Like, it is like from start to finish, number one, like lying to everyone and just thinking, I can't wait to see everyone's reaction because I'm one of the only people that knows that this is going to happen. Number two, seeing Valeria's face, I think would have just been priceless. As much as, you know, I love her and she's amazing, but I would have liked seeing anyone's face, to be honest, at that advantage would have been amazing. And then just seeing this shift happen from like, everyone's really upset, Raymond's going home, and then Raymond being like, you're all going to hate me. I'm like, this is like, where's my popcorn? It was so much fun, and I think it was one of the funnest tribal councils I was a part of. And even the Eden vote off, I think that was so much fun in its own way. Like, the fact that Kirby and I had that pool of like four other votes in such a last minute interval was so much fun to see how much power we have in the game. So that was fun in its own reason. But yeah, it would have definitely been the Raymond advantage. I was so excited for that, honestly. Like, I'm one that loves chaos and entertainment. So like, putting two and two together, it was like, mwah, like just chef's kiss, amazing.
Yeah. Bloody hell. I think I'm almost out of questions. It was really hard because you've talked to so many people and you've had so many questions with other people.
Oh, right, look, who knows? I think I missed a lot of things as well in some of my discussions. But I can tell you some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, fucking hit me up.
Well, like things that I wish would have made the cut.
Okay.
There was a moment where Raymond and I were giggling underneath the shelter in like the middle of the night while everyone was sleeping, and we were talking about how we can prank the entire tribe.
Yeah.
And it's so evil as well. We came up with ideas like poking holes in the tarp directly above every single person except for us. So when it would rain, it would just drip slightly on their foreheads. Or filling up everybody's water bottle with like 90% water and 10% salt water.
Oh, no.
Like, we were just giggling at that sort of stuff. And I honestly wish that Raymond got shown more. Yeah. He, the type of character he is, Mucky, is like, I wish everyone could see what I saw. He is a gem of Australia. Like, I will die on that sword. People needed to see more of Raymond. He is such an interesting character to watch. And, like, yeah, no, he's honestly one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. And I still see him to this day. Like, he slept over my house not long ago, and we were just chilling together. I also wish they showed me teaching Alex how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, and just showing that, you know, those differences put aside, our cultural differences, like everything put aside, and me just teaching him my way of life, that would have meant like so much to me. It would have been so cool for Australia to see that. But again, I understand, like, this game, especially this season, it's such a like chaotic season where you just, there's not enough time to show everything.
Show everything, exactly. And there's so much entertainment from you players. Oh, like, with the strategy, God. You can, like, understand.
Oh, my God. Like, it is insane. And, again, I want to talk about how special this season was, because I love analysing so many, like, different things of, like, movies, shows, and, like, I really analysed this season. I thought, like, in the beginning, to have a mirror image on both sides where it's, you know, Frankie and then it's Peter and then, like, it's just Blindside's number one. And then Tribe Swap happens and then, again, there's mirror images. Caroline and Mark, Kirby and Ferris. Mark gets, you know, stuffed over with Viola. I get stuffed over with Gary. Like, bro, you couldn't have scripted this stuff. And then going into Merge, the top eight, he had two duos. He had, you know, me and Raymond, Kirby and Ree. It was just so perfectly symmetrical with everything that happened. And then you've got the top five is like the four heads of all the factions that happened this season. Like, it makes no sense. And those four leaders of the factions were also rivals and have now become friends and are working together. Like, it is absolutely insane how, like, even, like, for example, the Charles vote off, the fact that it turned around so quickly, it went from, you know, Charles and his crew and being, you know, who wins this night challenge? Ferris, Kirby, and the one person that was going to go home that day, Eileen. Like, again, like, sometimes I think this show is scripted and I was part of it. Like, it's as if there was a whole bloody director behind it and being like, okay, you do this, you do that. But it just came so naturally, and that's why I think this season was so damn special, because you were just on the edge of your seat, and this cast especially is so, so special, because I don't think there is a single person on this cast that someone can't relate to.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bloody diverse. It's insane. And they all felt like they were big characters, and we all felt like we knew them. Although we didn't see many confessionals, for example, from Ray or Kitty, like, we felt like we knew Ray and Kitty.
Yeah.
It was such a special season in so many aspects, even like the editing. Like, I personally adored the editing.
It was great.
It was like even like a bit of foreshadowing here and there, the flashbacks that they showed, like the challenges. Like, it was like one of my favorite moments was seeing, you know, Kirby have her little moment after she won that. One of those challenges, I think it was top six or top seven.
Yeah.
Won that challenge. I was like, holy shit, I didn't even know she did that. I didn't know she stood aside and got emotional. And, like, even, you know, same sort of thing where Mark wins that top four challenge. I was absolutely gutted. And it shows, like, they didn't even show Mark wearing the necklace. They were so focused on these characters and these stories that they were like, we didn't even need to show Mark wearing the necklace or JLP giving it to him. We want to see Mark on an absolute high, and we want to see Ferris on an absolute low. It was just absolutely incredible to watch. And mind you, that day was the lowest day I've had. Like, I was rock bottom, and I think everyone got to see how devastated I was. It was actually my birthday that day as well.
Oh no.
Not only on my birthday did I lose the challenge that I was dying to win, but I also lose my best friend on the island, right?
Yeah.
And like, I even tweeted about this one part of like, in that top four tribal where it's the fire making, it shows, it literally zooms in on my face and me like just devastated watching Ray knowing he's going to lose. And you just hear the click, 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 click sound in the background as it's just zooming in on my face. And you could see as each moment goes by, I'm losing hope and I'm like convinced that my best friend's going to go home. Like this whole thing was made and produced like a fucking movie. And I think that is what makes this season so bloody special. And I hope to see future seasons even beat this season because I'm such a fan of the show. I love it.
Dude, I think they will because they've got this ball started. And let's be serious, this is the best franchise in the world at the moment. And 100%. Dude, you're the winner of the best fucking franchise in the world.
So weird. Like I never expected to have won, let alone made it to merge, let alone made it to, you know, tribe swap. Again, like going into the game, I was like, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to show Australia who Ferris is. I'm going to be as entertaining as possible. Like, I love good TV, and I want to show people that I can make, you know, aside from, you know, playing the game, I want to make great TV. Like, I'm passionate about that. And to think that I didn't even think of winning. And honestly, until top five, it was never a thought in my mind. And who knows, maybe that's a strategy in itself. Yeah. But top five was the first time I was like, oh, holy shit, I could actually win this.
Yeah.
Before that, I expected to be voted off. But it's crazy how this whole thing worked. And I'm so, so proud to be a part of this season, to win the season. It's fucking incredible. It's so good.
Dude, we are proud to have you. You're up there, all shining. We're all looking at you, dude. We are so proud to have you as the winner of this last season. It was amazing. It was so great to cover, and especially being able to talk to you throughout the season was just amazing. You were seriously. You were doing so many things for the fans. You're doing so many things for Australian TV. You're doing so many things for Survivor, and we just thank you, mate. Where can people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Instagram. It's my full name, FerrisBasal95. Same thing on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, even TikTok. Like I used to make a lot of like skits and videos for fun and content. It was working well for me. So you can find me on TikTok as well if you want to see more Ferris content. Laugh with Ferris. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute joy, and it is definitely not the last time you guys are going to see me on TV. Whether it be another show or doing my own thing, I don't care. You will. It's going to be my goal to be on TV somehow, some way. So, look forward to that.
I don't say this to many people because I don't watch any other reality show other than Survivor. But when you're on TV again, I will watch you. I promise. I promise. 100%. I will watch you, man. Dude, you fucking kill it. And thank you so much for coming on today. I've had a great time. Guys, get us on Facebook of Survivor Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS and TikTok at Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter. I've been Barkles. He's been Ferris. And yes, he won the fucking game. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Thanks so much for this.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Dude, thank you. So what are you doing to break the fast? I won't hold you. I'll hold you for 5 more minutes.
Nah, it's fine, bro. I break my fast at 7 o'clock. So
okay.
It's still a while. I'm actually going to a premiere tonight. My mate invited me to the Godzilla King Kong premiere. That'll be cool. And I have no idea what I'm going to be eating. So it's fine.
And just if you find anything in the popcorn, like...
like trauma. I know.
Dude, well, actually, that's a great question. We can always edit this back in if it works out. Dude, what would you have done if you found that?
Oh, very, very, very simple. I would have planted it somewhere else for a very specific person to find it, and I would have absolutely turned on them. And like Raymond's... He told me when there was only 2 tribal councils left. So that means we couldn't have done that plan. But if you told me from the beginning, I would have said, man, plant that idol. Let someone like, you know, I don't know, maybe Alex to find it, because Alex would probably do something like that. I don't know if Kirby would, But that would be amazing if she did. But I would definitely plant her for someone. I would not touch that shit. No way. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That's literally what I said on the podcast. Well done.
This is what I'm saying. You guys were so on point with all of your arguments. Like, and a lot of the times, like, there was moments where you'd say, I don't know if this is what Ferris was thinking, or I don't know if this is what this person was thinking, but you guys were, like, nail on the head, like, perfect. It was exactly what I was thinking. So you guys, your analysis is absolutely amazing.
Bye.
Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.